Oh, okay. Thank you all for coming this morning. This is going to be the second part of So What Is God Doing in Africa? And we have a series of three presentations every morning this week. This is the second one, and we'll have another one tomorrow. So we're glad you're here. I'd like to just introduce our presenter today. Dalton Muchinya works for the city of Johannesburg in South Africa. He and his wife Maureen are good friends, and she was scheduled to be on the program, but it just didn't work out where she could come. But they are team workers in a ministry that they've begun in South Africa called Purposeful Living Ministry. He does work in leadership training and just helping people learn how to really live out the life that God has gifted them to live out before Him in the world. And they say, our passion is to help people discover their God-given purpose in life through transforming followers into leaders in their area of gifting and encouraging those leaders to make an impact in their area of influence. And so he does some of this sort of leadership training, I think, in the secular world as well as in his ministry as well. So we're excited that Dalton Muchinya is with us, and we look forward to his presentation. Dalton, come. Let me pray for you before you come up. Yeah. Lord God, we are very blessed by the messages that we've been hearing this week. We thank you for God's people, both those who are listening and those who are presenting. And we have heard presentations this week, Lord, that are life-changing. And we're grateful for what you're doing. We see you at work in many, many places. And today, Lord, we continue to listen to what you are doing in Africa by your power. And as a friend says to me every time I'm together with him, a Congolese brother, he says, it's all about God. It's not about us. But we are so grateful that you allow us to be partners with what you are doing. What an unbelievable honor that you've given us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for Dalton and Maureen and their outreach to people whom you have gifted in various ways, but oftentimes are wondering, what does God want me to do? And they need to understand it. And I pray that you will bless their ministry. We look forward to hearing about it today. And we devote this time to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good morning to each and every one of you.
Good morning, sir.
And good morning to each and every one of you again. Definitely my apologies for my wife. She should have been here with me. And for some reason, as a young couple, there's some things she still need to take care of at home. And thank you, Sam, for the prayer and for the opportunity to stand here and have to share something about our ministry, Purposeful Living. You know, I might do it unusual, maybe to what you're used to, but I will take you through what we do so that you can begin to understand what this ministry is all about. We believe this is something that God has placed in our lives, and it's something that we are passionate about, and something that we enjoy doing, and something that we love doing. Something we've been doing for quite a while now, and I think it's a platform where we can share with you as to what is it. And I think I intend just using this to probably just take you through what we do as to what we call ministry for ourselves. And you will see, like I said, maybe the approach might be not your usual or your normal, but this is where God leads us, and this is what we do. Those will just be the things that we look at. That's my wife over there, and three of my children. That's my wife over there, the beautiful one there.
All right.
And those are my three children, the firstborn, the second, and obviously the last, the precious. Three children, we're going for our 10 years in marriage. We definitely looking forward to the future. Marriage is still a journey for us, and we probably still a young couple and still learning. This ministry is done together. You would have benefited more if my wife was here as well, and I hope I do a good representation of her as well in terms of what is in her heart, because I do have a bit of an understanding of what is in her heart as well when this ministry is concerned. The ministry is purposeful living. We're passionate about seeing people live the way that God has created them to live. And living the way that God has created you to live is finding out what you are about as a person. And finding out that which God has placed on the inside of you. Because when you find it, you become unstoppable. And you can be able to impact your surrounding and wherever you go. It wouldn't matter where you are. Because your gift is universal. Your gift can be anywhere as long as you're in the planet and God has put you to be in the planet. This is a bit of a background of what we do with purposeful living. If you look at it, purposeful living looks at leadership development. It does look at, we obviously our pillar becomes Bible study sessions, because we want people to find out who they are from what the Bible says they are and from what God says they are. We do mentoring and coaching as well. Some of it is also exposed to a professional level of where you can do mentoring and coaching as well. We also look at women and men's ministry separately, looking at what role men play in communities and in where they are and in living their own lives as well. So is the women. I do mostly lead the men's ministry. My wife does lead the women's ministry where that is concerned. We do the marriage workshop. We probably use this as a workshop to workshop our marriage, to find out where we are and to learn more about what other people are doing and what God is doing in the lives of people and in the lives of families as well. And in doing that, we believe it provides a platform for us to grow as a couple as well, and as a young couple, to be able to face the challenges and in facing them in knowing that God cares for all of us. And God has a plan for all of us. And God has a plan for marriages as well, which is the most critical part when it comes to this. In fact, God talks about marriage. When God speaks of marriage, he speaks of a church as well. And you will understand what marriage is about when it comes to God, on how he describes the church as well from the book of Ephesians,
yes,
which is very critical as well. And then we have Learner Support Program. There's a program in Soweto which looks at empowering young people, but I'm sure I've got some few things I can talk about there with that. We also do health and wellness ministry, which we will share. This, I think there's a bit of a team of the health and wellness ministry in one of the slides we can look at. This is basically our vision, to transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. For us, leadership is about you. If you can't manage yourself, chances are you also cannot manage anybody else. In fact, the best person you need to be able to manage is you. And the best person you need to be able to lead is you. Other than wanting to lead other people, just try to look at your own life and yourself and say, what kind of a leader am I? Mm-hmm. And if you're a family man, the best place to be able to lead is in your own family.
Yes, man.
And if you're able to lead your own family, it's quite evident. If your wife can sit at the back and know when you're saying something, but it's the best support you ever need. Because everything else that you would say, you would not be acting. you will be saying because it's from the heart and it's what God has placed in you. So we look at leaders as individuals. We look at an audience of one as an individual to say, when you yourself becomes yourself, you become a leader in that area of what you can do something in. And you become a benefit to wherever you are. In fact, when you walk into a place, there's positive energy in it because you've become all of what you are. You don't look down on yourself. And when you don't look down on yourself, you're able to look at other people the way that God looks at them. And a lot of things can be achieved, and a lot of things can be fulfilled, and a lot of burdens can be released out of the people who come around you, because they just want to be around you. In fact, they want to be around God, because that becomes a reflection of God. Amen.
Amen.
Our mission is to create a platform where every individual is valued and inspired to release the potential that God has deposited in them, and to use those talents and gifts to serve humanity, and above all, in honoring God. Every individual. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is whoever. So whoever can fit in anybody else who makes a choice and who decide to follow that which God has put in them. So you can be a whosoever. Maybe you don't even need to be about where you come from, your family lineage, because you're already from a family of God. And when you are from a family of God, you value, you are of value, and you are important to God. Amen.
Amen.
This is our approach of what we normally use when we, you know, when we're doing this ministry, because I believe it's something that is in us, and we began to look in the Bible and say, what questions was God asking in the Bible? And there's a question where God says, what is in your hand? And he was asking Moses. There's the first question in the Bible where God says, where are you? And this was in the book of Genesis, in the beginning. And he was saying this to Adam. He says, where are you? And when he says, where are you, to Adam, he began to ask us, what is God saying to Adam? God wasn't saying to Adam, where are you, because he didn't know where Adam was. But he wanted Adam to confirm where he was in his relationship with him. Because he was in the garden, and he had the relationship with God. And this question comes now because that relationship was lost. And when that relationship was lost, God now is saying, found your position with me in your garden. And where is that position now? Because where he was now, he was hiding himself from God. Isn't it amazing that most people do that, try to hide from God?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when we're hiding from God, we think God cannot see us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But David says, even if I go to the ends of the earth, he's still there. Yes. And he's still seen. And in this case, he's saying, where are you? And I've learned in the world of technology today where you would be having your cell phone and somebody would call you and say, where are you? And most of the time when somebody says, where are you, what do? You need to code and say, you need to identify the place with some monument, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If they know where you are geographically. If they are not saying, which country are you at? You'd be saying, I'm somewhere at the shops. Perhaps they would say, which shops? And then you need to maybe peep out and look if you're in a shopping complex or a mall and say, I'm next to a McDonald's.
Mm.
And they can be able to have a picture to say, oh, the McDonald's is here. It means you're probably there.
Mm.
And when God is doing that with you, he's saying, where are you in your life and in your relationship with me? And when you do that, he begins to open the door to say, ah, so now you see where you are. And where you are, I'm asking it against where you are with me. So if you are far away from me, why are you there? Because you will be lost if you're far away from me. And there was also a question, who said you're naked? Nakedness. Who said you're naked? And there was also a question again, why are you laughing? It was God asking that. Why are you laughing? Why was Sarah laughing? She was in her old age, isn't it? And perhaps what those angels were saying cannot be fathomed by your own thinking. Can this happen to me? And the biological clock wouldn't allow, isn't it? I've gone through the stage of where this could happen to me. Amen?
Amen.
But it was God asking that. And God always has an intent when he asks something. Okay? Because God wants to take you beyond from the natural to the supernatural.
Amen.
And the natural is where you are in your physical body. And you cannot connect to the spiritual body when you connect to God. And the spiritual body, the human body might not fathom or might not understand. Because it is still in its human body form, isn't it? So it can be in touch with the world. And it needs to be in touch with God through his word. Because there's life in the word of God. Amen? So we looked at this life-changing. I'm just going to take you through one on how we do what we do with what we do in ministry. And I'm just going to look at probably some of the suggestions we use in terms of mind renewal and in terms of how you would transform your own mind when it comes to living your best life that God has placed you here on this earth to do. Love the scripture. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ before the beginning of time. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If you look at it there. What I like about this is what I've highlighted. And sandwiched between salvation and grace is calling and purpose. You see that? Just between salvation and grace is calling and purpose. So we are about God's purpose. We are called into this life for the purpose of God. We are in this life because God intended for us to be here at this point in time to begin to do what he's put us on this life to do for the duration of our lives. So everything about our life is about his calling for our life and his intent and his purpose of why we are called. And the calling for our life may be very ordinary for most of us. It's what we do every day. It can be your work, your vocation. It's what you do on a day-to-day basis. And most of the time, we might think, you know, these things are very ordinary. It's what we do every day. And sometimes people have this thing of not looking just for the ordinary. They want to look for the extraordinary. But they don't want to go through the process of the ordinary to get to the extraordinary. And your day-to-day thing is your calling. And your purpose is that which is in your heart. Is your dreams. Is the best thing you want to be as a person.
Yes.
Is the precious thing on the inside of you that God has put on the inside of you. When you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, he has put everything in a man's heart, but they cannot fathom what he has put in them from the beginning to the end. In fact, other translations, I think, says, he's put eternity in the hearts of men. He has put eternity in the hearts of men. Perhaps this is the void that everybody else has, the void to be significant, the void to be important, the void to be somebody else who makes an impact with wherever you are. Everybody has it. But it's amazing that money cannot fill it. We call it rents in South Africa. You call it dollars, I realize.
Right.
Money can't fill that void. In fact, most of the precious things in life are not bought by money. Money is only the currency of the world.
Right.
It's not the currency of heaven. The currency of heaven is faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's the currency of heaven. And when you operate in the currency of heaven, it supersedes the currency of the world. Because the currency of heaven possesses everything. The book of Habakkuk says, silver and gold are whose?
Are
mine. And who's the owner there? God. So if you are, if he is your father, it's part of your inheritance, isn't it? It's part of your spiritual heritage, isn't it? It's part of what God would make you to have in the mission that you need to have here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Calling and purpose. The book of Colossians says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Isn't it amazing that when we begin to make things about us, all of a sudden things cannot hold together anymore?
Amen.
Things fall apart when they are about us. And every time when you are in your journey of the mission and the ministry of God, when you are about yourself, you're no longer walking with God. Because it is about you. And when it is about you, it is no longer about all the things that are in him and for him. He is before all things. Before Genesis was written. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. So he was God before the beginning. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. So when you're wise, you know things hold together because they are in God. But God, he began to ask this this question to Moses. He began to say, what is in your hand? Moses was 8 years old. He was working for his father-in-law, Jethro, keeping the sheep, and he was in a foreign country, he was in a desert. And when God began to ask him to see, it's when God wanted him to go back to Egypt to get the children of Israel out of Egypt into a land that he had promised them, where they would move around in the desert for 40 years. But he asked this question in the book of Exodus. He says, who are... In fact, it was Moses saying, who am I? He was saying, who am I? After God has told him what he needs to do. And he's saying, who am I? Isn't it a question that people ask themselves in their own lives? And you can ask yourself because you perceive an identity crisis of yourself. And it can be, who am I in terms of maybe where I am in my family? Maybe who are you in terms of the siblings you grew up with? You might even be saying, my siblings are better than me. So who am I that I could do something that is significant? And this is what Moses is asking. And when I look at this, in terms of what Moses was asking, perhaps it was fair for him to ask that kind of a question. Who am I? Who was Moses? He was born at a time where the sons were being killed, but he was preserved by God and raised by the Egyptian. So he was what we call adopted today. But he was adopted where? In Egypt. But he was being adopted for the mission he needed to do. And when you're adopted, you ask questions like this, isn't it? Where do I come from? Who am I? Who are my parents? Are they still alive? Why did they get me adopted? What was happening there? And did it mean that they didn't love me enough to take care of me and be with me? As you begin to identify that. And he says, who am I? And sometimes you're asking, who are you, comparing it to what you think you're capable of. And you're measuring again yourself against other people. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul says they measure themselves against themselves.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. You're measuring yourself against others. Mm. They measure themselves against themselves. He says, who am I? And who should I say, send me? You see that? He moves from himself
now,
from the doubts that he has about himself, to who should I say sent me? You see? Now he wants to question the God who's talking to him. Isn't that the case that most of the time we question our beliefs?
Yes.
Did God really call me for this? And you are in a foreign country. And things aren't going well. Did God really call me for this? Because sometimes when God calls you, he uses people.
Yes.
To take you to different places. And sometimes he's using people because he wants you to love those people. Because when you're loving them, you're loving him.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
It might be people who are giving you resources. It's never about their resources. It's always about the mission of God. Because when it's about, when you begin to make it about their resources, when they don't give them to you, what happened? You might hate them or not even love them. And you're missing the bigger picture of what God can do. God might be saying that stream is now no longer flowing, but I'll open another stream. But this other stream that I'm going to open for you, you need to believe that I can. and that faith is your currency to get in there. Amen?
Amen, brother.
And what if they don't believe me? What if they do not believe me? What? Oh, thank you. I say, do not. What if they do not believe me? I guess I was doing it by faith. What if they do not believe me? What if they do not believe me? He's saying that. What if they do not believe me? In fact, we do ask that because, and when we ask that again, we're looking at our capability. Because if we're taking the message from the one who's giving us the message, what do? We're like swimming into a pool. And when we're swimming into a pool, there's somebody in there who can swim because we cannot swim. And we let go so that we let God. And in this case, when we're saying, what if they do not believe me? Well, they won't believe you if it's your message.
Yes.
But because it is my message, and I know my intent, I know my purpose, I know my calling for you, they will believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Follow these little things that I ask of you to do now. Because when you do that, that's all I ask you to do. When you do that, that ladder will come up and you begin to walk on it as to where I'm leading you to go. Because this is about me. This is about God. But I'm not eloquent. I mean, I'm not, I don't speak well. This is Moses saying. He says, but I'm not eloquent. You know, I don't speak well. I don't know what the Egyptian accent was like then. You know, whether you could compare it to how we speak the languages, because I realize even in the States, people can tell, oh, he's from the South. He's from there. And all of that. Perhaps it's because of your dialects and how you guys speak. And they identify with it. I know in South Africa we would know. Ah, he speaks Tshivenda. He speaks Zulu. He speaks this. Just because of how you say the words. He's saying, brother, Mattel, because he knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So you would know. So, ah, okay, when you speak, when you would say these words like this, it means your tongue is channeled this way. You speak this language. And in this case, when he says I'm not eloquent, I think he was also saying, but I stutter when I speak.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that fluent.
Mm.
But what does God say? Because he always have people to help you.
Yes.
What does he say? He says, Aaron, your brother, can speak. So if Aaron can speak, you have no excuse. So where are you hiding with your excuses today of what God can do? Because where are you hiding? You're hiding from the next help that comes from the next person who can do what you cannot do. You don't ask, I'm not eloquent, and all of those. And then what does he say? Lord, send someone else. He says, Lord, send someone else. But we realize that what he had in his hand, which was very ordinary to him, was a stick. But God, you see, I love this. When I discover, God can use what is in your hand to fulfill what is in your heart. God can use what is in your hand to fulfill what is in your heart.
Yes.
What is in your hand? Your calling.
Yes, sir.
What is in your heart? Your purpose. And you get to your calling through your purpose. You listen to what things you can do even when they have to wake you up when you're sleeping. Mm. Because that's what God is putting you to do. You might be a good encourager. Encourage others.
Yes.
You might be good at giving money. Give it away. You might be good at cooking. Cook that meal. And let others eat it.
Mm.
You might be good at serving others. As you know, as the next. Do it.
Do it.
And do it to your best. Because when you do it to your best, the lives you touch, you know, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care.
Yes.
Because it's really never about what we know. It's always about how we care.
Mm.
It's what they learn most with from us. So God can use what is in your hand, your calling, to fulfill what is in your heart. What is in your hand? Does it seem insignificant? Does it seem insignificant? I mean, tell that to Samson. Remember Samson?
Mm.
Tell that to Samson. And God wants to use these small things. I mean, who would have known that Samson will take a jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 men? That jawbone of a donkey was just a bone, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess because it's been there for a while, you wouldn't even smell it. Because it already decayed. It's been there for whatever ages that it was there. It was not of a fresh donkey, I reckon. But Samson used it to kill 1,000 men. And it was on the path of what Samson was here to do. And once again, what is in your hand?
Mm.
What is in your hand today? Does it seem not enough time or energy to share? I mean, tell that to the widow. Tell that to the widow. Of Zarephath?
Yeah.
Tell that to the widow. That little is enough, because when God is in it, little is enough when God is in it. Because God is very good in multiplication. Where his purpose is concerned. I don't think he uses the same math as we do. But he's very good in... Because I try to figure it out with maths. I'm like, but that's not what God uses. That's what we're trying to do, to figure out God. Because when you look at those five fishes and five loaves, I mean, your thinking and your maths might not get there. Because the book of Ephesians 3:20 says what? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever think or imagine.
Amen. That's right.
But what does people use their imagination for today? What do you see when your eyes are closed? Is it like, what am I going to eat tonight? Or this afternoon? Or you see in the vision that God has placed in your heart? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So what you have in your hand might seem not to have enough time or enough energy to share. And you would know what the widow said. He said, this is little that remains that I need to just cook it so I can eat with my son so we can die. That was a hopeless situation. That was a hopeless situation. Mm. But when God gets into it, it becomes hopeful.
Mm, yes.
He fills the cup and it overflows. I have come to give you life. Life more abundantly. But there's the other one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes, he does.
But it's from your choice, your willpower. My joy is that you would have, you would prosper in life as your mind, body, and soul prospers.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Thessalonians speak of that. And that's a complete human being when it comes to that. Does the world laugh at what God has given you? Tell that to David, the giant slayer, the giant killer. Does the world laugh at what God has given you? You would know the insults that the Philistine was throwing around for David. And knowing David and knowing the lineage and knowing the family and knowing his brothers as well. I mean, even his brother would be saying, what are you doing here? Mm. I mean, you're supposed to be tendering for the flock and you are here. What are you doing here? You can't be here and you need to be tendering on the flock. But God can do. God can do amazing thing when you take what is in your hand to fulfill what is in your heart, your calling.
Yes.
And do you think age and failures from being what God wants? Do you think age and former failures from being what God wants will be a deterrent for you? I mean, you should tell that to Moses. You should tell that to Moses. He was old. And he had a rod. But God wanted to use that rod in his hand. Because it was not more about him, it was about God. It's all about his purpose. It's not about us, it's all about his purpose.
Yes.
It's about what is in your hand. And that which is in your hand, God has placed in your hand.
Yes, he has.
And God wants to use that which is in your hand to fulfill that purpose which is in your heart.
Mm.
All of us has a gift and a calling. God has put it in us. I take it more like the fingerprints. None of us have the same. And if you hiding away what God has given you, you're starving us of that. Because nobody that has a talent can use it in their own house. You have to go out there, tell it to the world, show it to the world. And when they begin to see, their lives begin to change. And all of a sudden, they begin to see God, and they are transformed with what you do. And this is basically one, I've just taken you through one of the questions that we use as an approach. So you can understand what we do and how we, as we talk to people, what is the intent and the purpose of what purposeful living is intended to do. And in all of this, when it links to what the Bible can do, this is normally what we talk to people about. This is just the stages of life. And all of this, even if you go back and you look at the at where are you? The question that says, God, where are you? Because when you're asking God, where are you? It's your position in life and what you're supposed to do. And when you look at that, you're looking at the stages of life. You can be a young person, you can be an adult, and you can be an elder. You still have a role depending on the stages where you are. When you look at the stages of life and where are you, you also look at the seasons of life. I mean, there's winter. It was just starting in South Africa when we left. And I'm sure it just left here. I'm sure it was leaving here to come to South Africa. Because we're sharing, remember? So, so where are you in your own position and in your season of life? And in the season of life, even there's day and night. And day might be meaning things are blossoming in your life at a given particular given time in life. Sometimes these seasons in life might happen at the same time. You might be joyful now and be sad in the next minute.
Mm.
Because God has put you in that place and in that position. And you need to understand how your life transforms when you look at the book of Romans 12, verse 2. And this becomes a process and a stage of what we do in life, because from knowing about God, we keep transforming and renewing. And you renew with the Word of God. Because when you're renewing with the Word of God, when you begin to read the Word of God, when you begin to consume the Word of God, because I think in the book of Psalm where he says, let me hide my word in your word in my heart, so that I will not sin against you. And when you hide it in your heart, you find your habitation in it. You hide in it, isn't it?
Right.
And when you worship God, he says, I am present.
Yes.
Isn't it? And he becomes present because you accepted him and you read his word. That's the word. And when you read the word of God, all of a sudden you can't avoid it. It flows to your thinking.
Right.
It becomes how you think and how you become and the kind of person that you are. And when you do that, your emotions now are informed by this word of God, the word of God, the thinking, and your emotions. And now when you respond, your emotions are tamed by the word of God. So it's flowing with the word of God, with what the word of God says, because it's transforming you into this new person be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that process is coming because the Bible says you've become a new creature. When you become a new creature, you become a baby. And when you become a baby, you go through stages of life so you can be a full adult. Your emotions. And these emotions lead you to the decisions you make every day. If you're a giver, you decide I need to give. If you're a singer, you decide I need to sing so I can worship God for what He's given me. If you cook well, you decide I need to have those meals ready and I need to enjoy what I do so they can get this and eat this. If you speak, you speak well. Amen?
Amen.
So you do all what you do well. And then all of those decisions will lead you to your actions. And the actions will become your habits. The things you begin to do because you've learned to know who you are in relation to God. And your habit will become your character. This is what people will say. We know him for this. This is what he does. I wonder what they know you for. Maybe not let you know. I wonder what they know you for. I wonder what they know you for. Because what they know you for becomes your character. It's who you are. I'm finishing. I'm sure I should be done by 4:15. I'll be done now. So it's your character. It's who you are. It's at your disposal. I was just trying to question you. So you should be in position to understand. But I wonder what they say about you. But you know who you are. And that character becomes your destiny. And that destiny, sandwiched between salvation and grace, is calling
and purpose.
And that calling and purpose is leading you to an eternal destiny. And the eternal destiny, you only get to it because of the word of God. Because you've left the secular world. And when you leave the secular world, you now transformed into a Christian living and a Christian life. And the Christian life takes you through this process. And when you're doing this, you're finding out who you are and what you are, and you're doing what we do. And that's what we do, the purposeful living. And this is basically some of the things that you would see we do. Bible studies in the area, we're getting some venue now to do that as from where we are. There's a university just around where we stay, an Australian-based Monash University. It's what we're intending to engage them more with the students as well. Obviously, mentoring of the young people, we do that. With several young people, we have on our platform to mentor them for various things as well. We've been doing marriage classes since 2009. I got married in 2008, so almost going for 10 years now. Our first child, firstborn, 2009, 2011, another son, firstborn the son, and 2014, the lastborn the daughter. So we've been doing that journey there. So we do have a class that has couples that deals with that as well. There's an educational initiative of where we offer the young ones who are in secondary school classes to improve on their grade. So they could, once again, they're also on the journey to find themselves. There's a wellness team. We have had our first wellness conference. This wellness team does have a professional doctor who's a resident, these people are volunteers, and a dietitian as well. So yeah, the guys in Atrek will know the dietitian, who's my brother Gilbert. So there's a team of those guys there that are professionals and fitness trainer as well. And we've also partnered with a local Christian newspaper, the Christian News. We were part of establishing the Christian News as a team as well in doing this. This is just the wellness team. This is a professional dietitian. This is me. That's my wife. And that's one of our fitness trainers. They're also our person. We don't have the resident doctor there. That's just part of what we had as our wellness conference. That was just the dietitian doing what he does best. We get excited when people do what they do best. Because we know all they need is support. Because when we do what we do best, all we need is support as well. So that's just the dietitian there. This is just the education initiative, the ECASI. This is Justin. Justin founded ECASI. We've just partnered with them. He's a cousin to my wife. So they do interventions for the young people to teach math, science, chemistry, and all of that to make sure that they are further prepared and they can improve their grades when they have to go to higher learning to be able to do what they do as well. This is just one of their typical math classes. So they do this mostly after their normal learning and also on weekends to be able to do that as well. So that's just part of the work we do. Well, this was just a few couples playing in our couples ministry. So you would see there. So that's just. So we do have a ministry plan and all of that, which is the milestone. You know, the resource planning, the halls, and all of that, and all of what we intend doing. And this is what gets me excited. Purposeful Living Institute. And I know it's going to happen. This is what gets me excited. Mm. And I know over time, God will make sure this does happen. And with this, I've learned to understand that, you know, dreams is not what we have when we sleep at night. Dreams is what keeps us awake. I realize that. Dreams is what keeps us awake and what motivates us into doing what we do. So that's just a part of some of the things we are already doing and all of the things that we've had as long-term and short-term goals that you've seen there. Obviously, we believe in partnering. It could be in any of those that you see fit and think is worth to be partnering in. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's not saying whatever somebody's hand finds to do. In an audience of one. Whatever my hand finds to do, I should do it with all my might. Because my might is borrowed might from the Almighty. In borrowed time from God. And sometimes when you are a borrower is always slave to the lender. And I think we can use that in many facets in life. And when this is borrowed time from God, we need to use it like borrowed time from God. When you borrow it from someone, you don't forget them. You don't live your life outside of God because you are in His borrowed time. And He owns everything you have and everything you do. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, all of us are going there, there's neither waking nor planning. You know, knowledge or wisdom.
Yes, sir.
This is Solomon. Solomon is amazing. Mm-hmm. He writes these things. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
It's just my email there, and God bless you.
That's the email.
I do have some time before I can give you.
Will you accept one question?
Yeah, sure.
Who has a question? We want to. We're running a little bit late, so we want to get down to the Firestone Fieldhouse.
This is just a comment. Nancy? I know we were very late getting in here, so sorry we came from a long way away.
Yeah.
But I would like to encourage everybody who might be flying back to their home or traveling soon or can go to the movie to see Hacksaw Ridge, made by Mel Gibson. He just came out with it. Mm-hmm. And it is the incredible story that will fit right in with what we're saying here about a man named Desmond Doss that everybody laughed at, made fun of, and even beat up. But he was God's man, and he was on a mission. And it is completely amazing what God did through Desmond
Doss. Write it down. Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge. It's very violent because it's a war situation. It's realistic, but it's very amazing. Very, very amazing. Hacksaw Ridge.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Hope you'll come back tomorrow and hear.